الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي يجيبني حين أناديه ويستر علي كل عورة وأنا أعصيه ويعظم النعمة علي فلا أجازيه. نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إلها واحدا أحدا فردا صمدا قيوما، نؤمن له بالربوبية ونقر له بالعبودية. من يهدي الله فهو المهتدي، ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين، إنك حميد مجيد. وصل اللهم وسلم على جميع الأنبياء والمرسلين والأوصياء والصديقين وعترة نبيك الطيبين الطاهرين والأخيار من صحابته المنتجبين ومن تبعهم بإحسان وإيمان إلى يوم الدين. عباد الله، أوصيكم وأوصي نفسي بتقوى الله ولزوم أمره. Many people in our community ask this question: is there any conflict between the love for one's religion and one's country? Meaning that, is there any conflict between being a committed Muslim, a practicing Muslim, a religious Muslim, and loving this country? Some people see a problem between being a good Muslim and loving America, although they live in this country for so many years and they benefit from this country and this society and this community, but they still do not have that sort of feeling of attachment and respect to this country. But what we see is something completely different. We see that حب الوطن من الإيمان, to live your community, to love your community, your country, your neighborhood, where you live and you grow and you advance yourself and your family, is part of religion, is part of being a good Muslim. So a good practicing Muslim is the one that wherever he ends, wherever on earth he ends and he lives, he must cherish that area, that soil, that country, that society, and that place. And he should sacrifice for that place. And therefore, when we look at the Muslim immigrants in America, those who came, you know, during the last 100 years, we find them being branched into three sections, three main groups. Some are the isolationists. They believe in isolation. They believe that it is dangerous to integrate in the American society. We are not part of the American society. We have a different mentality, different thinking, different religion, different ideology, different culture. So according to them, it is haram to get integrated into the American life and American society. And those are very few who live in America physically, but mentally they are far away from this country. And they are very few, mostly immigrants who also mostly come from areas where education was not the norm. They were away from education. Then we have, on the other extreme, we have people who believe in complete assimilation, they assimilate completely into the American melting pot to the extent that they forget about their own identity, they forget about their own culture, they forget about their own religion, their own language. They change their names, they don't speak their own original language, neither they encourage their children to learn the original language, and they don't associate themselves with their culture, original culture, with their childhood culture. And they completely melt down in this, assimilate in the American society, according to some surveys that was done by some professors in America. The percentage of those people who completely assimilate into the American culture and they forget about their own past, their own heritage, their own religion, even their own language, they don't even speak their own language, neither they carry their own Islamic or Arabic or Persian or whatever names, the percentage of them is 23%. Yeah, 23% of the Muslims who live in America, they don't associate themselves with Islam anymore. Then we come to the group in the middle. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا. Those who neither believe in isolation from this society, because they have a role, they have a purpose in this life, and they are a human being, nor they believe in complete assimilation and melting in this society to the extent that they forget completely about their own heritage. And this group, the group in the middle, is called the integrationists, people who believe in the idea of integration. Integration means that you maintain your Islamic identity, your Islamic culture, but don't forget, you don't live in Kabul or Tehran or Baghdad or Damascus or Cairo or Sudan or Yemen anymore. You live in a different culture, different country. In this country, maybe back home, wherever you turn, your neighbor is from the same race. Not only from the same race, sometimes your neighbor is your first cousin. You live in a neighborhood surrounded by your cousins, your extended family members. You speak the same language, you have the same customs. But when you come you cross the oceans and the mountains and continents and you land in this country, then the culture is different. And therefore you have to be sensitive to this culture, to the new culture. Otherwise you're going to lose your children. Otherwise you're going to lose yourself. Otherwise you are not going to contribute into the richness of this culture. And Islam always wants us to be active members. Active members wherever you go. Wherever God sends you, to any village, to any country, to any continent, you should be someone who has an influence in that society, in that neighborhood, in that area, in that country where you live. You have to contribute. You have to contribute. Your culture, whether it's a Persian culture, Arabic culture, African culture, it's rich. Islamic culture, it's rich with so many things. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about Isa alayhi salam, a very beautiful example about Jesus in the Quran. He says, وَجَعَلَنِي مُبَارَكًا أَيْنَمَا كُنْتِ. Wherever I land and I go, I'm a source of a blessing, a source of contribution, a source of giving. This is how we should be, a source of giving and contribution, positive contribution, to wherever you go. Probably today you live in America, tomorrow maybe you go to South America, you go to Brazil. Still, you have to be a contributing person in that part of the world. Wherever you go, وَجَعَلَنِي مُبَارَكًا أَيْنَمَا كُنْتِ. And therefore, here We believe in this, and since today we have in our attendance in this congregation, many of the young generation who are heading to the youth camps and to the junior camps. This weekend we have two camps in two different locations. One is the junior camp here at Irvine Education Center in the mountain, and another one in the real mountain, the big mountain here, Arrowhead. That's for the youth camp, where they gather to learn and to discover their Islamic identity, Islamic American identity. There is nothing wrong with being a good Muslim and good American. There is harmony between good American citizen, someone who believes in the American Constitution, and between someone who is a good Muslim follower of the Holy Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam and his Ahlul Bayt, his family. There is no contradiction between them. If you think there is contradiction, you are wrong. Either you have to restudy Islam again, or you have to restudy and revise America again. The American Constitution was driven and taken from the scriptures. 99% in what came in the American Constitution, the principles of this Constitution, are in line, in harmony with the scriptures, with the Holy Scriptures. So we believe that there is no contradiction between the two. And in this country, we have to work. We have to produce. We are ambassadors of Islam, ambassadors of peace, ambassadors of contribution. We have to prepare ourselves. Today, you guys, you go to school here. You are learning. At the same time, when you go to an American school, you have to go to a Saturday school, to a Sunday school, to an Islamic school to learn the language, the Arabic language, the Urdu language, the Farsi language, the other languages, your mother tongue. It's good. It's a source of pride and source of richness that you learn other languages, especially the languages spoken by your parents and your ancestors. You have to retain this. Do you know that if you apply for a PhD in any American university, in Islamic studies, in Eastern studies, in humanitarian studies, they require you to speak two Western languages besides English. You have to learn German, French, Spanish, and also two Eastern languages, like Arabic and Farsi, or Turkish, or Urdu, or things like that. Why? Because this is something important. You have to know about others. When you speak the language, you're going to get to know other cultures and the richness of other cultures. So here there is no contradiction between being a good American and a good Muslim. And this is what Allah wants you to do. Allah wants you to claim this land as your home, your country, even if it is not your birthplace. Even if you came here as an immigrant. Now, if this is your birthplace, then you are American. You are American. You belong to this land. God did not say American has to be only white, only Christian, only, you know, people from Montana or from Europe. Any person who comes to this country and he takes and claims this country as his new home, then he's American. And he can contribute a great deal to the richness, to the safety, to the security of this country, which I am going to elaborate further on these aspects in the second khutbah, inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. ما نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن سيدنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. اللهم صلِّ وسلِّم وبارِك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. وصلِّ اللهم وسلم على عترة نبيك وأهل بيته وأحبته وخلفائه علي أمير المؤمنين وقائد الغر المحجلين وعلى البضعة الطاهرة فاطمة الزهراء سيدة نساء العالمين وعلى سطي نبي الرحمة وسيدي شباب أهل الجنة الحسن والحسين عليهما السلام وعلى علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف الهادي المهدي عجل الله تعالى فرجه وسهل مخرجه وجعلنا من أنصاره وأعوانه. عباد الله أوصيكم وأوصي نفسي بتقوى الله ولزوم أمره. روي عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم أنه قال خيركم أنفعكم للناس. Who is the best in the community? Who is the first class citizen in the eyes of God? The Prophet answers this question. He says, أنفعكم للناس. The one who is of more benefit to people. الناس, not just his family, الناس, to the humanity. The one who's serving the humanity. The best in the eyes of God is the one who serves the humanity. خيركم أنفعكم للناس. Therefore, my friends, my children, my daughters, my sons, today those of you who are heading to the camp, and this is part of your camp, how to be a proud American, proud Muslim in this country. You are part of this. You are not an alien. You are part and parcel of this country, and America is a proud, America, including the president, is a proud that Muslims in this country are making great contribution to the richness, to the stability, to the economy, to the beauty of the United States of America. Therefore, in this case, it is unacceptable in Islam. It is un-Islamic, also unethical, for a Muslim in this country to be a burden on the social system, on the social benefit of this country. What do I mean by that? You know, in America and also in Europe, they provide social security, social benefits. For many, for different people, for the sick, for the disabled, for the immigrants, for the refugees, for the unemployed. Now, sometimes someone has an emergency. Someone is really disabled. He's not faking it, because some people, they fake disability, especially mentally, mental disability. Muslims are very good at this, you know. They fake it so they can claim benefit in some areas. I hope not in Orange County, inshallah. So in case of emergency, someone really needs some help, it's okay. It's okay to get it from the government, because the government allocates certain amount of its budget to help such people. But if someone is able to work, physically fit, mentally fit, has no problem, then that person, he or she, it's forbidden, according to the Al-Fiqh al-Ja'fari. The fiqh of Ahlul Bayt, the fiqh of Shia Islam, our scholars, our fuqaha, they say that person is haram on him or her to go on and claim benefits from the government. If he is able, or if she is able to work, to produce, to generate some income, then you cannot take that money. That money is haram. Taking that money is considered theft. What is theft? Theft when someone takes something that does not belong to him. whether from an individual, a company, corporation, country, city, this is theft. And it does not belong to him. This is not his or her right. So this is forbidden. Besides, my friends, Allah has endowed insan with numerous talents, energies, power. Why should someone freezes his energy, his mental energy, his physical energy, and does not work, stay at home, lazy, sleeping until 3 p.m., 4 p.m. in the afternoon, not going to work, and then because he wants to claim some benefit from the government? That does not work. Claiming the benefit for someone who is not eligible for it, it means he's killing his spirit, the spirit of work, the spirit of ambition in himself. This is a slow disease, moral disease, social disease, that is going to put an end to that person who is claiming this benefit with no right. He's not helping himself. He's not encouraging himself. You have to go out. You have to search for work. Sometimes you fail in this area, in that area, you get rejected, you fail the interview. At the end, you're going to get the work. Allah says, if you are a hard-working person, if you are sincere, go outside, search for work, I will back you, I will support you. I will send the rizq to you. There is no excuse for Muslims to sit at home and do nothing, especially in a country like America. Sometimes we go to countries that economies are broken, completely broken. No job opportunity whatsoever. No opportunity for investment, for work. But when you come to a country, people from Vietnam, from China, from other countries, they come here penniless, penniless. No money in their pocket. After a few months, not 2 years, they start wiring money back home, purchasing properties back home. Because they are serious. They don't speak English. Some of them, that you can hardly understand them. But they make money in this country. Land of opportunity. Allah does not want us to be a burden on anyone, even on your own parents. Even if you have a rich father who says, son, you don't have to work. I give you money. Tell him, thank you, daddy. Keep that money. Maybe I need it at the time of an emergency. I have to work. I have to generate my own income for my own dignity, for my own izzah, for my own honor. Do not be a burden. Do not be a burden even on your father, on your mother. Let me tell you something further than that. You may disagree with me. Do not be a burden on your wife or your husband too. If you can generate your own money, then go ahead. Make your own money. Work. You're going to be dignified. احتج, Amir al-Mu'mineen says, احتج إلى من شئت تكن أسيرا. When you are in need to any person, you're going to be a captive to that person. When you are in need to that person, you're going to be a captive. واستغني عن من شئت تكن نظيرا. When you don't want this person and you don't need that person, you're going to be an equal to them. Even if you are poor and he's rich, you're going to be equal. Because you don't need him. وَأَحْسِنْ إِلَى مَنْ شِئْتْ. Do favor to others, تَكُنْ أَمِيرًا. You're going to be the prince, the leader, the emir when you do favor and you help others. Keep this in mind. Keep this in mind that a Muslim should never be a burden on the social system in this country, on the social benefits of this country. Should not be a burden. Yes. Sometimes emergency, it's okay. It's okay. Even in Islam, even in the Islamic system, when someone lost his job, disabled, things like that, he can go to the house of a treasury, Baytul Mal, and claim some benefit. But for a short period of time, until he can stand on his feet back. But we cannot be permanently a burden on this system. We are sending a wrong message to others. When they look at Muslims, all Muslims claiming benefits, they say, what sort of religion you have? Your religion does not encourage you to work, to go out, to contribute, to give. I went few times to Europe, especially the Scandinavian countries. I saw no converts. I go to the masajid, to the lectures. Not a single convert. What's wrong? Why? Why in America we have converts, in Canada but there? Then I realized that 99.9% of the Muslim community, they survive on social benefits. They get money from the government, even if they don't need it. Definitely when you send such a message outside, people are not going to like your Islam. They say Islam is for lazy people, for backward people. It's not for people with innovation, with talents, with work, with ambition, with seriousness. This is what we are sending. These negative messages some people are sending out. So I'm asking especially the young generation, prepare yourself for a life of work, a life of intaj, production. I know some people in my family, at the age of 12, they started earning money out of their work. They go to a print house. At that time, 50, 60 years ago, print house was not like here, you put your fingers on the computer. No, it was very hard to print a book. They would work there at the age of 12. So he does not ask his father for money. He gets his earning with dignity. And now, alhamdulillah, they were able to build themselves, their families, and their countries too. Put your trust in Allah. Allah says, I will give you. I will supply you. When you are serious, don't worry about poverty. But I want you to be active. This is what he says. He wants us to be active. Sometimes you are active in work, sometimes in knowledge, sometimes in tarbiyah, nurturance, sometimes in economy, in any field. In any field that you find yourself is capable, you have to produce. And my friends, the success at the end for the producers, not the consumers, for those who produce in this life. May Allah bless you all, inshallah. Inshallah, you will benefit from these camps and you will be energized and inspired. So that will prepare you for the next steps in your life, inshallah. Allahumma ighfir lil mu'minina wal mu'minat wal muslimina wal muslimat الأحياء منهم والأموات تابع اللهم بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات إنك مجيب الدعوات إنك غافر الخطيئات. Please, let's recite أمن يجيب. A sister, she's undergoing a surgery in our community and for others who are in need for the dua. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء 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 يا الله من على مرضانا بالشفاء والعافية المرضى المنظورين اللهم ألبسهم ثوب الصحة والعافية والشفاء عاجلا يا أرحم الراحمين وعجل في فرج سيدنا ومولانا صاحب العصر والزمان وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات ثواب الفاتحة مع الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد.